This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with SharePad from ShareScoop, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScoop.co.uk and discover the advantage.
Hello and welcome to the Twin Peaks Investing Podcast. My name is Peter Higgins. You can find me at Conkers 3. And I'm here with my good colleague, Peter, at Wheelie Dealer on Twitter. How are you doing, Pete?
Yeah, mate, I'm all right. But I'm all right, but we had a discussion before the call and I think I've got lockdown fever. I don't mean the nasty fever that you obviously don't want. I mean the sort of lockdown fever where I don't know, it's like I can't concentrate on anything. Last couple of days, been really listless and I can't read things and I'm just not interested in anything, you know?
I think we've all been through that, Pete. It's now dragging on, mate. You know, we're not far off heading towards 10 months in this situation now, heading towards a full year of various different stages of lockdown and freedoms and restrictions and so on and so forth. So it is something where, you know, we have to be mindful of the positives and that we've got, the blessings that we've got, but also cognitive of the fact that there's lots of people out there that are experiencing lots of different difficulties and issues with this continued lockdown, and we'll all experience it in different ways.
Yeah, you know, I think it's funny for me. I was thinking about it. We always have a little break before we do the call, you know, and while we were having that little break, I was thinking about it. And one of the things that occurred to me is that I've had a lot of ongoing physical health problems for, like, you know, weeks and weeks. And now I'm sort of at the end of that and pretty much got that sorted. And in a way, those physical health problems were helping my mentality, because it was like I didn't want to go out. I didn't want to do anything because I felt crap, you know. Whereas now, physically, I feel pretty good. And now I'm like really restless, you know.
Yeah, and the weather's not helping, mate. You know, I think most people, depending on which part of the country they're in, bar parts of Essex. Hello, Essex, people that listen from Essex. Most of us have had snow as well, so the roads have been pretty treacherous. It's been bitterly cold, you know, other than me going out a couple of days of my mini boss making snowmen. It's not been much to do outside, really. There's not much fun out there.
Yeah, and it's been very sort of like rainy and grey. Yeah. One of the challenges for me today, we're recording this on Wednesday, the 27th of January in the evening. One of the things for me today was I'd really planned to wheel round to a local garage just to pay a bill I had. And it was like, that was like the highlight of my day to do that. Of course, when it comes round to it, the weather's rubbish, wheelchairs and rain don't mix, and I didn't end up doing it. And it's like, I don't know, it just adds to the frustration, really.
It does, mate, and I think the problem is that a lot of the news we're hearing, and a lot of the stats we're hearing, you know, we just had this announcement today, I've just noted, schools are potentially not going to be opening back on until the 8th of March, so that date's been nudged again, so it's not great, Pete, and that, you know, impacts our thinking regarding when are we going to get out of here. People then, you know, putting two and two together and thinking, well, what does that mean for March then? Or could it be April? Or what does that mean for, you know, the restrictions here and lockdown and vaccinations? So there's loads of different connotations to it all, Pete. So, it's very important for us all to look out for each other. And as I said many times on this podcast, it's very, very important that we all consider how we behave, how we conduct ourselves, but also what we do in a positive way towards everybody else in our communities, and being able to just pick the phone up or have a conversation with or look out for our neighbours and other people that are in our communities is very, very important to me. And I think we should all try and do what we can. There is actually an initiative, Pete, via the NHS, and it's got the hashtag. You can find stuff on Twitter and various other places. And they're using the hashtag Every Mind Matters. And this is around the having good mental health and being able to relax and get yourself in a good space regarding the lockdown and how it's impacting people. So it's very important to do that. But have a look at that sort of website, anybody's out there that's having difficulty with any sort of issues. And also try and be supportive of as many people as you possibly can just by picking the phone up. I mean, I'm speaking with teachers that I know, and they're really, really struggling right now with the stresses of actually being, having to try and do what they're doing online. And, you know, they're speaking to kids, and parents are speaking to the teachers. And one of the big issues we've got right now, folks, and this has got nothing to do with investing, I know, but we're here, so we're having the conversation, because it's very important to think about these things, right? We're going through a situation now. We've had these young people ranging from, you know, 7 years of age up to 17 years of age that have not been able to socialise with their peers normally, as they normally would. They've been told, depending on what age, they're not doing their exams. They've been told they've got to do this online. They've been told they've got to stay at home and use the broadband and da-da-da-da and spend all this additional time with their siblings and their parents. Heaven forbid, their parents, you know what I mean? grumpy dad and grumpy mum, you know, or fabulous mum and fabulous dad, you know. But they're having to spend all that time with them in the same house all of the time.
It's not normal.
And what's happening is that lots of these young people are experiencing mental health difficulties. There's a massive rise in mental health, eating disorders, self-harming, and they're just isolation. So if you've got any nieces, nephews, cousins, whatever, that are of that age, pick up the phone, have a chat with them, see how they are, and just reach out, you know what I mean? And see if we can save a couple of lives and a couple of young people coming to harm.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I heard some stat that it was something like, was it 1 in 4 or 1 in 5 kids are claiming to have you know, challenges mentally at the moment?
It's hard, Pete. You know, so if you think about us as adults in our 30s, 40s, 50s and 60s, struggling with all this lockdown restriction and, you know, not feeling good or not feeling motivated, what about these youngsters, mate? It's worrying.
It's a weird one for me, because I sort of are in a form of lockdown every winter anyway, because, you know, I tend to hibernate in the winter. But I just feel that, I don't know, this seems harder than it is normally, but maybe it's the constant barrage of the difficult news. And of course, the thing that hasn't helped me today is the markets have been pretty grumpy last couple of days. And I've said this before on the podcast, it's like, the more experienced I am and the older I am and blah, 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 I still can't get away from this psychological thing that when the markets are grumpy and I'm not making money, I'm not so happy. When the markets are good and you know, I'm adding a nice bit of money to my portfolio every day, I'm in a great mood. And I can't get away from that. And as much as I try, it's really strange. It's like how much of a Mr. Spock and how rational have you got to be to get to a stage where that never affects you? I don't believe anyone gets there.
Well, I'm going to have to disagree with you there, Pete.
Do you think you can get there then?
I think you can get there, and I think some people do, and I think people have to get there at some point in different ways or the other. I think the major fundamental difference, Pete, with you and 99% of the other people, including myself, right, is the fact that the time of year is when we adapt worst. Right, in the spring last year, it was nice, it was bright, it was summery, we were spending time in our gardens, we were doing stuff outdoors, blah 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 blah. It's dark now, Pete, it's cold, right? We're affected by a seasonal affective disorder, SAD. Right, that's the other thing that's coming on. People have been in dark lockdown, mate, you know what I mean? They're not being able to go out and walk and all the rest of it. It's just drudgery out there.
It's a good point, because last spring when the poo was it in the fan, it was like I was nicely hedged, which helped me from a rational point of view. But also, like you said, I could get out in my garden. You know, I could wheel round to a local coffee shop, or it wouldn't have been open, but I could have wheeled round to it. But, you know, you could do other things. But as you say, it's like you're more sort of like enclosed now. The weather's rubbish. You don't even see your neighbours. Yeah, it's a tough time. It is.
The best way to deal with it, Pete, is to make sure you've got loads of natural light. Yeah, you've got to reduce your cravings for eating all crappy foods, because it just boosts your energy, then saps your energy. Yeah,
and you've got to get a Snickers bar, mate. Does that?
And you've got to,
that's a major mistake, isn't it?
Yeah, and you've got to plan your days so you've got something to look forward to, mate. Those are the quick fixes, really, for that sort of thing, Pete.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's an interesting problem because I'm normally pretty good at it, and if even I'm finding it hard, it does make you wonder what other people are going through.
Absolutely, and this is why it goes back to what we've been saying on this podcast forever. Think about other people, look out for other people, make a call to support people as best as possibly can, and be as supportive as you possibly can. I mean, in that note, Pete, yeah, we've discussed in the last podcast, we had our wonderful guest, Ryan, I'll Get You Gadget, who's now got, I think he's got 10,000 followers now, from going from about 25 to 10,000. So well done, Ryan, and congratulations on that, mate.
Podcast, mate.
Absolutely phenomenal. He was absolutely outstanding, and the feedback we've had with regards to Ryan has been absolutely phenomenal, and he just brought this nice vibe and just lifted everybody to sense of, I'm a youngish guy, you know, I've just started 5 years ago, I'm doing this, and this is my plan, and this is how I'm doing it. And it was just such a breath of fresh air to hear somebody with such raw talent and being able to just speak the way that he spoke about his journey and what he's doing so far. And it's so different from everybody else, you know, doing it in a way that was educational as well, in a sense of, he wasn't ramping that stock, he wasn't ramping that, he was just talking about, this is what I'm doing, this is how I'm doing it, you know. It's really, really, really good.
It was the level of commitment that got me.
Absolutely.
He's applied himself, and he's worked hard, and he's figured out what works and what doesn't, and he's sticking to it. I thought that was great.
Absolutely. And during that podcast as well, folks, Pete and I launched our Twin Peaks challenge, and we've already had some people who have been kindly donated some monies, and we're at £770, excluding the what do you call it, tax, Pete, the gift aid stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So we're at 77 already. So I want to thank everybody that's already done their donations, and it's, you know, anybody else that wants to do that, feel free to do that. Pete and I are going to be continue to support that Memphis charity, which you can find on the Just Giving page, Just Giving fundraising / Twin Peaks challenge, and that's what we're doing for the rest of the year. So thank you all for your support. All those that are new to us will know that Pete and I are all about paying it forward. So what the whole point of this podcast, if you're new and you haven't subscribed yet, please subscribe. The whole point is for educational purposes only. We're trying to find ways to inform you guys about what's going on in the market, what we've seen. And occasionally we've got some ideas as to stocks we've seen that may be of interest that you can go away and research. We don't tip shares on this program. Yeah, it's not about that. Yeah. So if you're enjoying it, thank you ever so much. And thank you also for the continued feedback we're getting. We've had the phenomenal feedback, I think mainly because of Ryan, to be fair. Yeah. We don't normally get that amount of feedback, Pete, do we?
I think you're absolutely right there. So, hey, I need to say hello to Brian Kipping in Japan. Hi, Brian.
Cool. Carry on.
Yeah, no, that was it. I just need to say hello to Brian. I said hello to him, and he'll hear it, and he'll be like, "Wow, that's like quite mad." So anyway, mate, are you covered on that bit?
Covered on that bit.
Okay, mate, I wanted to ask you, what's your general sense on the markets at the moment?
The markets at the moment, mate, I think they're thinking through all the different nuances of the new president in the US, the COVID situation, the numbers are rising, the vaccine situation, what's going on in America, across Europe and in the UK. And they're having a pause. I think they ignored all of the different nuances that they saw the first couple of weeks. And today it's a case of, well, let's just take a breath and see what's actually happening. The market's being made aware that the lockdown and the data regarding the lockdown is going to be ever changing now. So that's quite important in the sense of, if schools are not going back till March, what does that mean, you know, for opening up of businesses, restaurants, pubs, etc., etc., and going back to normal, you know. When will people be going back into the offices? You know, when will people be able to actually plan to go and see their families properly again? And all those sort of things. So I think today's drop, I forget what the percentage drop was today, Pete. Was it 1.4 or something? Yeah. So I think today was one of those situations where people are getting a little bit like, maybe just take a little bit off for the time being and wait and see what happens. It's going to be very interesting. I think we're going to be in for another volatile year, folks. So you have to be careful not to ride too bullish a wave. I see people saying they're fully invested. They're clearly bullish. You know, some people are saying they're all cash. They're clearly bearish. You know, you have to find and do what you're comfortable with. The market's always going to throw up opportunities. And we've seen two this week. I think it's what's the ticker symbol, Pete? AFHP with AFH Financial Group receiving a takeover. And Scapa receiving a takeover today.
So
there's going to be plenty of opportunities to get into a stock that's absolutely riding high or gets taken over. And we saw that the last couple of days with a company called GTEC popping and getting a lot of support from people again. So do your research, find the stock early before everybody else, and hopefully you'll be fortunate for the catalyst to actually trigger a re-rating in the stock.
What was the EPIC code for GTEC?
GTC.
GTC, yeah. That's a funny one, GTEC, because I saw a lot of people talking about that on Twitter. But I don't know, it's one I struggle to get excited about because it's very small for starters and quite illiquid, which is part of the reason it's jumped so much. But when you look at the revenues and things, it's pretty tiddly, isn't it? I think there's a lot of hope in there.
I think part and parcel of the very nature of that particular stock, Pete, is the industry that it's in and what it does. And invariably, I think sometimes with those sort of stocks, it's a case of, you know, early stage oil and gas exploration stuff, Pete, you know.
This one does software around remote monitoring and stuff like that, something like that, isn't it? And geospatial planning of facilities and things. It was a hydrogen link, wasn't it? It's helping on a hydrogen plant. I mean, there's another subject there. At some point on a future podcast, I need to talk to you about hydrogen and what the future of that is, because I'm still a bit puzzled. But let's not get onto that now, because there's more to cover. But
let's not talk hydrogen, mate. Yeah. I think people want me to talk about hydrogen. I think what's happened with that, Pete, is essentially, like all things I've said before, you know, if you get a strategic partnership with a large entity, yeah, it can eventually be a game changer for that company, because everything else that's in the actual portfolio is sitting there, maybe not doing anything, and that could be the trigger and that could be the catalyst for a re-rating. And sometimes companies use that quite spuriously, and sometimes it's a genuine catalyst, and it's about deciphering which one it is. And I think potentially with GTEC, this is a strategic and a positive for them. And that re-rating could continue for a long time, but they have to back it up with some growth, yeah.
With the money, isn't it? You know,
and money, yeah, absolutely. So it'll be interesting. It's interesting times for them, and you know, there's a good investor on Twitter that we know called is at BattleBus141, and it's one of his first multi-baggers. So he's got in there early, done his research, and got the rewards. And this is about, again, do the research before anybody else. If you're happy enough with the risks, take the risks. And if you get rewarded accordingly, you know, that's what you deserve. If you don't, you don't.
I think Martin Flitton's in it, at Private Punter. He's very good. He's a good guy, Martin. He's very on the ball. He writes in the Cambridge local paper or some weird thing like that. I've never quite figured that out. But he's very good, Martin, and definitely well worth following. It's interesting on those takeovers, because it sort of felt to me that in recent weeks, well, obviously we've had Christmas and whatever, it's like the sort of takeover thing sort of quietened down a bit. So I was quite pleased to see those couple of takeovers, because it sort of suggests that there is still some takeover interest still around.
Yeah, I mean, the acquisition for, what's it called? AFH Financial Group, sort of Bidco, managed by Flexpoint. And the acquisition was £4.63, a 40% premium to the share price on the 20th of, sorry, the 1st of December 2020. But just, Pete, just a mere 16% from the day before the news came out. So not a massive premium, but still a large premium from beginning of December. So it's out there. There's value out there. You just have to dig and dig and dig and until you find something that you're happy, you know, that doesn't have a lot of risk to it.
Yeah, and where the value stacks up. I sent out some tweets tonight about the sort of market in general. I am inclined to put a very small short on the FTSE 100 just as a start of a hedge, and it would literally be the start, sort of like an insurance policy, if you like, because I just, well, I mean, basically on the FTSE 100, it touched nearly 6,500 today. If that gives way as support, then that would suggest more downside. The other things that sort of play into that are the CAC 40, the French index, will have done a 1321-day EMA exponential moving average bear cross today. And the monthly candlesticks for January, which aren't valid yet because we've got a few more days of January to go, none of them look good. I mean, the US ones look better, but really it's not a great picture on those. And that suggests we could be in for some weakness in February, March, you know. I mean, obviously these things don't always play out, but they are quite predictive. So I just feel like a little bit of insurance I'll be inclined to put on. The other thinking, and I wanted your view on this, I get an obvious sense that US tech has just gone ridiculous. Valuations are absurd. What's your sense on it?
My sense, Pete, is that depending on what the US tech is and what it's doing, the valuations can get stretched and the valuations can go out the window. I think we've spoken about this before.
Oh, yeah.
It's about what their assets are. And Intel, I can't even say the word this time of night now, tangible assets can be on the book, off the book. And essentially, Pete, it's hard to value them. And sometimes you've just got to throw it out the window. You know, you look at the likes of Facebook. What are their assets? It's our content. It's whatever we put on the actual Facebook thing. So they've got hardware. They've got all the software and the tech and all the other people and all the stuff that they've got to do. But it's hard to measure these things sometimes, Pete. You've got to look at what space they're in. Yeah. What's going to be happening regarding the space they're in a sense of the future growth and what they're doing. And essentially, you know, I think it was either yesterday or today, Microsoft have come out with record profits. So they're actually benefiting from lockdown. Now, their PE is not as, you know, astronomical like some companies, but people have been shorting Tesla for nearly a year now, yeah? And they've gotten it wrong, and it's cost them billions, yeah? The share price has doubled in the last X amount of months, and it's probably going to go higher, and people are still shorting it, you know?
Tesla's so you've really got to be careful. Tesla's really interesting because that's actually an example I wanted to bring up. Tesla was, I don't know what it is today, but when I looked at something a couple of days ago, it was on a forward PE of 215. Now that means it's going to take 215 years for it to earn back, you know, the what you're paying for the shares. That's an insane valuation in any way. I mean, if you're looking at intangible assets or whatever, it's a bonkers valuation. And Tesla's just one of them, and in many ways, Tesla's got more going for it than 500 companies in the sort of smaller reaches of the tech market in the US, which are earning like nothing, and are just so overvalued. I just think there's a correction needed in the US, and if that happens, it's going to hit onto our market, and it's going to hit onto the German market, it's going to hit onto the French market, blah blah.
Yeah, the dominoes always go like that, Pete. I think you've got to caveat that with Pete, with the fact that regardless of what you think is overvalued, yeah, and what I think is overvalued, the market will have another view of that, yeah. And Tesla and Amazon have shown people that saying that the company's undervalued or it's not making profits is meaningless, yeah. Essentially, what happens is the people that are looking at the market and looking at Tesla and looking at Amazon are looking at how far out is it that these companies are going to become game changer companies. And we've seen that with Amazon now, and how much it's enriched Jeff Bezos, and how many different niches of the markets that they're actually in now. And all they started off was an online bookstore, Pete. Now, you can't fart without it being connected with Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
At some point or other, yeah, Tesla is going to be in so many different niches. We're going to go, when did that happen? Yeah, it's not just about that car, Pete. They're in so many different areas that we're going to be surprised where they are. And eventually, you're saying 200 umpteen years before they reach that level of profitability. It will not be that. It'll be like, and you'd be thinking, crikey, 15 years ago, did it make a profit? Now look at them. Yeah? And that's what happened. You know, let's talk about GameStop, Pete, on a similar sort of scenario.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
GameStop is all over the news at the minute. And there's a brilliant headline from Bloomberg at the minute. Yeah? And the ticker symbol is $GME. Okay? And the headline reads, the saga of GameStop continues. On Tuesday, yeah, yesterday, folks, it was the most traded equity on the planet with $20 billion of volume. It closed at $147.98 for a market cap of about $10 billion, right? Up 641% from 2 weeks ago. Yeah? Now, most people won't even have heard of GameStop, right? But GameStop is a video game retailer that's on its knees, right?
Yeah.
And it basically said, last April, it was the company announced mass closure, right? And its shares at the time were £3.25 each, right?
$3.25.
Yeah. So last night it closed almost at $148 per share.
Nuts.
Oh. So it's gone out of business, it's losing its way, blah, 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 blah. What's happened, right? We can go back to these trading places sort of entities, platforms, Robin Hoods, blah, 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 blah. They look, I mean, remember, it was last year, Pete, weren't we? We had this this thing with Robin Hood traders buying Hertz. Remember that one when he went up 1,000%?
Yeah.
So you're looking at the most shorted companies, yeah, the companies that are almost on its knees going out of business. And these traders are throwing vast sums of money at these stocks, right? Talking amongst themselves, putting this down and blah, 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 blah. And the shares are just going whoosh. And every time somebody goes to short the stock, they just buy some more and buy some more. I'm not saying that's what's happened with Tesla, but I'm saying, look out for shorting stocks, because when you're short stocks, you don't know what the market's doing and it can invariably work against you. Yeah?
Oh, yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, I think shorting individual stocks, especially bullish ones, I've actually said on my tweets, I wouldn't short the US as an index, but I just think that the US looks, like I say, it just looks overvalued. One of the things, and it plays into exactly what you're saying, I think there's too much overexuberance. I think it's been too easy to make money in the last few weeks or months. I think I'm noticing loads of new investors coming in. I'm getting direct messages. I'm getting emails. You know, I'm getting so much from new investors, and that always sends a shiver up my spine. You know, you've got adverts saying, you know, if you want to make money, just buy Amazon shares and do it on your trading 212 platform. You know, and it's just, I just think it's all gone mad. And that is nearly always a sign of problems coming. When I say problems coming, I don't think there's going to be like anything like we had in March, but I just think we need some sort of calming down to get rid of this exuberance.
I think part of it, Pete, and we spoke about this before, part of this problem and issue is the fact there's so many people, and I'm not talking about millennials here, there's so many people ranging from the age of 20 up to 80 years of age, right, around the world, that have got time on their hands, okay, and they've got access to that supercomputer that we call a phone, right? They've got these trading apps that are going, get this for free, get your mate in here to do some trading as well, and you get this for free, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And the get-rich mentality is just seeping into every single pore of these people that have got those sort of personalities that want to trade relentlessly and trade relentlessly regarding various stocks. And some of them will do well for a time being, but the vast majority of them will just blow up their accounts. Yeah, they will lose money.
Totally.
So, you know, just be very mindful that the reason why these platforms are for free is because they're looking to make money off you. They're not looking to contribute to your education. They're not looking to contribute to your wealth. They're looking to enrich themselves. You know, you've got these companies that are doing numerous presentations here and numerous advertisements here about their wares and all the rest of it. They're not doing that for the betterment of yourself. They're looking to do that for the betterment of themselves. So just be careful. You know, Pete and I are doing what we're doing and we're still learning and we're still making mistakes, right? And we're trying to do this, you might think, that the hard way, right? The slow way.
Mm-hmm.
But by you going down this get-rich-quick route, invariably, you will end up getting very poor very, very quickly, you know? So just take a step back and think about what you're doing and plan and plot and organize yourself, just like Ryan spoke about last podcast, and organize yourself into a position where you can get very, very rich slowly.
Take your time. There's no rush. On those free trading platforms, the way they get paid is this payment for order flow. So what they do is they get paid by an exchange to route the orders through that particular exchange. So they're getting like a kickback on the volumes they send to this other exchange. But that's one of the main ways they get paid for it. But yeah. It's there are good things about those platforms, but only if you stick to the basics, do your research, do your fundamentals, you know, do it all properly. Either be a long-term investor and know what you're doing, or be a trader and have the disciplines and the stop losses and things that you need. But, you know, if you're just going to go in and just buy a stock because your mate told you to, you're just going to lose money.
Yeah, and that's the danger, really. I think it goes back to this adage of, you know, we keep banging on about it on this podcast. You know, do your own research, folks. You know, you go to an event, you go to a seminar, you go to this, that, and the other online, whatever it is that you attend. Do your own research. Do your own research. Get the information. Go and do your own research. Don't just go, X, Y, and Z has talked about this. X, Y, and Z has promoted that. That company's saying this. Do your own research as well, because when these stocks go wrong, and they invariably do, yeah, you can then say, you know, I made that decision. It wasn't anyone else's fault. And when it goes right, it's your decision. It's your responsibility. It's your achievement. It's not someone else that got you there. You know, so just be mindful of that. And just spend a bit more time researching. Don't just jump on the app every single day and feel you need to trade.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, always chopping in and out is never a good idea. We wanted to talk about last year, 2020. I was pretty happy with how things came out. If people go onto my website, www.wheeliedealer.weebly.com, go to the educational blogs page, and there's a blog on there called Scores on the Doors 2020, and it talks all about how all my various accounts did and what I spent and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I was generally happy with it. How did you feel about last year, mate?
I was generally happy as well, Pete, after the swings, roundabouts and roller coaster of it all. I think the only disappointment for the year was the fact that, you know, we actually found people trading AstraZeneca and it finished off negative for the year. So
you've got a massive position in that, haven't you? So that's always,
yeah. It was one of them that I thought, you know what, it's the first year it's not had a positive total return for quite some time. Mm. And invariably, when you're holding a stock, you know, for 26, 27 years, you're going to have a year when it doesn't do that. So that just goes with the territory, you know, if you're going to buy stocks like that and have it as a large position. So other than that, the markets were very, very kind last year. It's the reason why my focus this year is on supporting as many community projects and charities as possible. You know, I think we've got to be mindful that, you know, as we're doing well, there's lots of people out there that aren't doing so well.
Oh,
and we shouldn't all just focus purely on on money. You know, if you're solely focused on yourself and money, then you've got your focus all wrong. That's my view anyway.
Oh yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. It's funny, wasn't it? Because I can't help think. I was having a chat with a mate about this on the phone the other day. I can't help thinking that we, you know, I mean, collectively, everybody, really, everybody who's a long investor, got a little bit lucky, because, you know, we were butchered in March, April. I mean, the pain was just indescribable. But you know, the rebound was indescribable as well. And I can't help thinking that a lot of us got bailed out by the market simply because it rallied so hard, which ties into our earlier conversation that maybe it's rallied too hard and it does need to calm down a bit. But, you know, but I just feel that, you know, there was a bit of luck in that, I think. You know, we could easily have had a situation when the markets went low and they stayed pretty low. Because when you look at the backdrop, I mean, I've never lived through a macroeconomic or societal event like this. I mean, this, you know, the only thing that comes near, although I think it was much worse, is World War II. But that was way before even I was born. And, I was born a long time ago. So it's weird. Yeah,
I have to agree with you, Pete. We were very lucky, you know, and there were lots of gnashing of teeth and, you know, people being violently sick between March and April, and then we got through it. The markets rallied, as you say, and then people were rejoicing because some of those stocks ended up far higher than where they were in February and early March of 2020. Mm. You know, some went up significantly from their March and April lows, some doubling, some going up 200% above where they were, all for different reasons. And, you know, for the people that held on to those stocks and had the nerve to hold on to those stocks that were, you know, down at 2 or 3 year lows in March, April, you know, kudos, and I'm very, very, very happy for them. Mm. But, you know, the exuberant side of it, which you asked about, is an issue in a sense of, you know, for those that haven't experienced it, I'm not saying they have to experience it, but I think people would be more mindful and a bit more thoughtful regarding some of their investments and probably take less risks and position sides better regarding some of the stocks that they hold, had we still been sitting where we were in March 2020 to April 2020 and the markets were still there at 5,000 or just above 5,000, and those stocks that they've got, which have got large positions in, hadn't rebounded, I think some of that exuberance wouldn't be in the market, obviously, but I think people would temper some of their views about what they think of the markets and what they think of their experience and what they think of how good they are in navigating the markets. And this is about psychology, Pete. We've talked about this, this issue of overconfidence sometimes. And when you're winning, super confident, the ego takes over and blah, 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 blah. When you're losing, it makes you think, it makes you reflect. And I think what we should do is actually think and reflect all of the time, not just when the markets are not doing as good, you know, are not benefiting us, you know?
Yeah, I think you've hit a great point there, because I think it's really easy. You know, I came out of the year in a pretty good shape, and it would be very easy for me to think, oh, I'm brilliant at this investing luck because I did really well in a really difficult year. I think the truth is I've got a little bit of skill and I applied that quite well in parts, not so well in others, but I do think that luck did help me quite a lot, really, if I'd be fair.
And that's part of you being honest with yourself, Pete, you know, and we all need to do that a bit more, I think. I look at the stocks that I had and the stocks that did well, and some of them were just happened to be in the right space at the right time, you know, right niche at the right time. And you know what? There's going to be companies sometimes that just surprise even the most bullish people. And the bears that are in the stock are just in for a shock. And that's just the nature of the beast. You know, that's what markets are there to make a fool out of all of us. And invariably, throughout the time that we are investors, that will happen to us, you know. And we've got to, and I keep saying, we've got to take the good with the bad and just, you know, almost be dispassionate about it, really.
Well, yeah, and as we were saying earlier, that's quite hard to do. So mate, what in terms of going forward and looking at 2021 with the experience of 2020 and all the previous years before, what are you now thinking I want to focus on and do better for the coming year for yourself?
For myself, Pete, the mainstay, and this might sound ridiculous given the lockdown situation that we're in, for me, what I want to do better is spend less time actually looking at the market. I want to spend less time, I think we spoke about this before, researching stocks. Probably reduce the number of stocks I've got and have a core number of companies that I'm happy to just leave alone and let them do what they need to do over a period of the next 2 or 3 years and beyond. I think at the moment I've got a couple of probably a handful of stocks which are what I call speculative stocks.
Yeah.
And I may just get rid of those and just concentrate on a smaller, slim down portfolio and then just leave the market alone. You know, my daughter's at home, being homeschooled. I'm not the best teacher, apparently. Yeah. So I need to improve in that department. So yeah. If I can help and support her a bit more, given the fact she's going to be doing online learning till March, possibly April, I think that's what I'm going to be doing, Pete. I'm going to focus a bit more on the psychology as well, because I want to get better at that, Pete. There's still things I need to work on and improve on as well. So I might just digest a few more books, do some online stuff on that regard. And at some point when the weather's better, I want to spend more time in my garden, doing stuff in my garden, Pete. So invest in myself and invest in the garden. That's what I'm going to be doing this year.
I've definitely got the same feeling on that latter part. You say reduce the number of stocks. How many stocks do you think you'll end up holding?
I'm looking to get down to 30, Pete.
Okay, yeah.
I think at the moment, I've probably got nearer to 39 stocks. And that to some people that might think that's quite a lot, but that's only a lot if you haven't got a small value portfolio. But the larger the value of the portfolio, you've got to diversify, otherwise you're going to get your head red. But I need to have that diversification, because as Pete's pointed out, and I've said it numerous times in the past, a larger portion of my portfolio is actually just in one stock. So, you know, I like to diversify in the rest of the portfolio.
You say about, you know, spending less time on the market. So is this coming back to something we've discussed that we'll probably discuss more on another podcast? That this idea that sometimes it's easy to go into too much detail. And then in many ways, what drives a stock is often just a couple of factors. And we have an inclination as humans to obsess about absolute trivia that really is not relevant to the investment case. Do you think it's partly around that?
It's twofold, Pete. It's part of that, but it's also about enjoying my quality of life, Pete. You know, as I said in the previous podcast, you know, I lost a few people last year, Pete. You know, they were young people.
Mm.
You know, I'm not planning on spending my time researching stocks when I can enjoy my life, when I can have time with my friends, my family.
That totally chimes with me.
When I can go out and actually smell the green of the grass, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's more important things than the bloody stock market, mate.
No, that's so true. It's funny because one of my intents, not so much for 2021, although I'll be moving with that sort of thing in my mind, but over the next few years, I want to move more of my portfolio away from what I call my main ISA, which is where I do all the more exciting stuff. Yeah, exciting for me, yeah. So where I do, I want to have less of my wealth in the more exciting stuff, and I want to move more of it into more of my income portfolio approach, where it's more about targeting 6-7% a year return, but with a big chunk, 4 or 5%, coming from the dividend payments. Because I think as I get older, I mean, I'm 24 now. No, I've got that right. I'm nearly 56, and it's like as I get older, the chances are my health won't be so good, and I want to get more to a situation where I don't have to be on top of my portfolio all the time. I can just leave it alone, you know, and it will just generate me a nice load of income. that's part of the way I want to move in coming years.
Okay, I think that's a good way of looking at it, Pete. And it's about, you know, what really matters. It's about focusing on what's most important to us. Mm. You know, and if focusing on investing is what is most important to you, that's your call. You know, but it's not for me. You know, so my family, my friends, you know, and the ability to help others in my community is far more important to me than investing. I think maybe I feel a bit guilty that, you know, in previous years I've probably spent more time than I should have done on the investing malarkey, and I could have done so much more with the people that are no longer here, if that sounds, you know, right, Pete, you know?
Yeah, I think we're always going to feel that way, you know, when those things happen.
Mm.
Thinking about what I'm going to do differently, I think the I say this every year, and it's terribly boring for people to have to read it or listen to it, but I need to get better on my Spreadbet account. I mean, last year it was up 30%, which, you know, is 30% on the capital I started with, which is, you know, not a bad return, but it's still not good enough. You know, I should be able to do 50%. There is no reason on earth with my approach and my methods I can't be achieving 50% return a year on my capital. And that's where I've got to be pushing my focus. So that's like the big one for me. And I think the other thing is I'm going to spend more time and be more fussy and be more picky about every single stock that enters my portfolio. I'm literally not letting it in the door unless it really is something I've got a real high degree of confidence about. And that's sort of like a big change. I say big change, I've always been a bit like that, but I want to get more like that. I want to get more and more fussy.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that, Pete. I think what's happened is, you know, you and I and others have been caught up with, you know, that stock is being spoken about, that stock's been spoken about. So it's not fear of missing out or anything, but I think what happens is that we think, okay, that could be interesting. Let me just do a little bit of research on that. And we may not be interested in that initial stock, but it opens a wide door of all these other stocks that are related to that stock. Yeah? Do you find yourself falling down the rabbit hole sometimes, Pete?
Yeah. And I think in the past, I've been a lot more guilty of that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll give you an example I wanted to bring up, actually. I've been a little bit active in the last couple of weeks, whatever, because I bought some, bought some more Lok'nStore, L-O-K.
Yeah.
I bought some more Bango, B-G-O. And I want to buy more B-A-R, Brand Architects. And I'm looking at buying P-R-S-R, which is that supermarket right thing.
Yeah.
And so I'm sort of like, so I'm actually quite active. I have been quite active. And one of the things I sold was McCarthy and Stone, which has been an absolute disappointment for me. And I ended up taking a bath of something like 40% on what I paid for it. And it cost me around 1.5% of my portfolio, which was, you know, disappointing.
Yeah, I can understand that.
But when I look back on it, I think fundamentally McCarthy and Stone should be a good business. But I think it's the classic problem that it came to market as an IPO and it was backed by private equity and it was sold by private equity. And I think the lesson that comes over time and time again is that if you're buying something that private equity is ditching, then it's probably not a good idea.
I think you're spot on there with that analogy, Pete. And there's been so many examples of that. You've had AA, you've had Aston Martin.
Yeah.
To name but two that begin with A. Two that begin with A. So yeah, you always be mindful as to what they're selling and why they're selling it. You know, so yeah, you've got to be very.
It's
not always true, but always look at the, you know, how much are they getting rid of and are they staying on board and have they got a lock in for 12 months or 6 weeks? You know,
they're
selling straight away. It's just invariably, you know, they've loaded it with debt. Have a look at what the debt was before they bought it, you know.
And I think this is part of the problem. It's like they load them with debt. When they come to market, there's a good story. You know, and it seems like if things go well, then they can pay the debt down and it will all live happily ever after. But what it means is that because there's so much debt, the companies are fragile. So the slightest hiccup in the trading, which is what we have with the AA, and it's what we have with Mark McCarthy and Stone, it's what we have with Saga, we've definitely had it with AML, Aston Martin, they haven't got the financial strength, and they just get in serious trouble.
Indeed, indeed. And it's important, and this is what I keep going back to with people, is to look at what changes are being made regarding what's going on in the macro environment, or in the UK or the American environment. And in that regard, there's a stock I want to talk about. I don't hold a stock, but it's popped up on my radar. The ticker symbol is ITRK, and the company's Intertek.
Yeah.
And essentially, it's a testing and inspection company. It looks into all the different, it's a multinational assurance, inspection and product test and certification company headquartered in the UK. Now, if you think about all the different things that are changing, including, you know, we're out of the EU now, all the stuff that's going to happen at Dover, Calais, all the different ports, all the different stuff that's coming on regarding relationships we have with America and China and all the rest of it, a lot more, let me use the word, you know, this very intelligent word, stuff is going to need to be inspected, tested and assured going forward. And that includes, obviously, foods and other products. I think, you know, invariably that particular company and companies within that sort of niche of testing stuff and giving quality assurance regarding equipments and other services is something for people to investigate further. I'm not tipping into tech. I'm just saying those sort of, you know, themes, as I call them, are areas of further investigation. Look at companies that are involved in the space, which invariably is going to be needed more going forward, not only because of lockdown, but going forward for the next 3 months, 3 years, 10 years. Because if they've got a particular service that's going to be needed and needed and needed and needed, regardless of what's going on in the economy, yeah, then that's going to be a long-term winner. So have a look at the stocks related to that particular company, Intertek. And Intertek is a, what size is it at the moment?
FTSE 100, yeah, it's a biggie.
It's a FTSE 100 company worth 9 billion quid. 1 year return is minus 6%, excluding divvies. Year-to-date return, minus 3%. So it's not taken off yet this year. But it's one, I think, you should keep an eye on, and also have a look around their smaller peers or global peers in that particular space. I think it's a very interesting one.
I was looking at the historic numbers on ADVFN on my phone.
Yeah.
And it's got a historic PE is 29 and dividend yield historic of just under 2%. Well, to be honest, those aren't really bad numbers when you're, you know, we were talking about overvalued things earlier. I mean, a historic PE of 29, you're probably looking at a forward PE of 27 or whatever. I don't think that's ridiculously bad, and you're going to be getting about 2% yield on it. I think there's a lot to like about that. I can see where you're coming from, and I think the thing I've always liked about Intertek is it's very much a global company. You know, it's doing stuff all over the world, and I think I've always thought it was a very good company. You know, I've followed it for donkeys. I've never owned it. But I've always thought what a good company that is. So I can see the logic there.
It's a rock solid company, and it's the sort of company, you know, I've been spoken to Phil Oakley quite regularly and read his book all the time. It's a sort of quality sort of company that's got the quality sort of metrics and moat that he would love. And for me, Pete, the thing that ticks my boxes, as you know, is what has it done long term? And we're talking now about total returns, Pete. Yeah. So 10-year annualized, Pete. 13.43%.
It's good. It's good.
5-year annualized, 17%, Pete. Oof. Yeah. 3-year annualized, 5%. So the last 3 years dropped a little bit. But, you know, long term, they've rewarded their investors, mate. So that for me is one to keep an eye on. You know, and it's no tiny stock either, so it's going to hold its ground.
Well, it's going to be liquid and stuff. She'll have no support, you know. I noticed on the three-year chart on ADVFN, it's been a very wide range. So the chances are that if people are going to buy it in stages, they can sort of buy a bit to get a placeholder and get yourself in there. And then if it goes down really low, which it looks like it might do because the ranges are so wide, you can get loads of opportunities to top up or whatever. Yeah, you know, if anyone was to be interested in it, you know. I do like that. You're on a good one there.
Yeah, it went sub 45 last year, hit a low of 37.86 last March, April. The high over the last 52 weeks is 64.92, and it's currently sitting at 56.52. So it's one of them.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Blue chip quality company. It's got its finals in March.
Yeah. I've got a load of stocks here.
Go for it.
That look interesting. I think we talked about it. I think you brought this one up. Harworth Group, HWG. Did you bring it up on a podcast a while ago? I think.
Nope, not one of mine, Pete.
Are you sure? Did you bring up Hargrave Services?
Yes, Hargrave Services, yes.
Are they linked?
No, I don't think so.
No, what I mean
is... just begin with H, mate. They're both beginning with H.
Oh, that's what it is. was Harworth Group part of Hargrave Services at one time or something?
I don't know, Pete.
Well, anyway, what it is, Harworth Group, HWG, I don't hold it. It had results. Obviously, you don't hold it because you don't even know what it is. HWG had results a couple of days ago, I think. And what was really interesting was that I think they were ahead of expectations, but on the chart, it broke out higher. It was one of these that had fallen in March, gone down into that sort of sideways range, and then it broke out higher. So let me just have a look on my phone and see what it's done since that, because obviously we've had a couple of ropey days, haven't we? But, right, Harworth Group. Oh, mate, it was up today, which is pretty impressive in itself. Yeah, it's broken out of the range, lovely. So... No, I think that could be really interesting. It does land that is like former industrial. I think it's like former dirty land or whatever, and they sort of like clean it up and stuff. I think
brownfield sites, dirty land, brownfield sites,
dirty land, and they clean up the dirty land, and then they sell it for housing and whatever, but. But yeah, I think that looks an interest. I don't hold it, but it looks interesting.
The thing, I've just had a quick search, Pete, and the reason why you think it's linked with that, and you could be right, yeah. It used to be part of UK Coal into logistics property developer Harworth, formerly known as Coalfield Resources.
It is then, isn't it? Because
is historically part of that entity that was Hargreaves and all the rest of it, all those coal miners, blah 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 blah. So formerly known as UK Coal, yeah. So there's a relationship there probably somewhere, but it's not one I was aware of.
What's the code for Hargrave Services, do you know?
HWG, mate. I think you already said that.
No, that was Harworth. Yeah.
Hargreaves.
Yeah, I don't know if you've got it there.
Is it HGR? I've forgotten, mate. It's been a while since I looked at it.
Okay, yeah. Look, I think HGR had results. I think they were today or yesterday. And I didn't think they were was exciting. I thought they were a bit average, really.
Right. Apologies. It's HSPP. HSP.
HSP. Well, I never thought that.
HSP. Apologies.
Yeah, HSP. Yeah. Right. Yeah, that was good. The other one I want to talk about. Boo-hoo. Boo. Yeah, B-O-O. Yep. Now, I hold B-O-O, so I'm completely biased. And you must remember that. I thought the deal they did the other day buying Debenhams is potentially very big strategic move because it takes them into beauty, more the cosmetic stuff, more the sports stuff, and more other stuff. And it sort of reminded me of what's going on at the Hut Group, THG. Yeah, so it's sort of taken away from that core clothing thing.
I like it, Pete, but the main reason I like it is the big data stuff. They've decided to go in there and get the tech. Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's just online, isn't it?
Yeah, so they're
Yeah.
going in there to get the tech and the data, because they're not going to be selling their products to 40 somethings that used to go in Debenhams, are they? 50 somethings that used to go in Debenhams, yeah?
But they're keeping four brands from Debenhams, so Principles, Main, something else, and something else they're keeping. So they're going to still try and keep some of the Debenhams customers. So,
Absolutely. So
but I
it's going to
think
be.
the strategic side is interesting as well.
Absolutely, mate. And my only, and again, I don't want to put a downer on it, mate. My only concern regarding that really is the fact of all those people that are losing their jobs, mate. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's the it's the classic problem, isn't it? It's like all this stuff's moving online and a lot of people losing their jobs.
Yeah. But strategically, they've made a very smart move. You know, they've still got to just sort out all their different discrepancies regarding what they're doing, regarding their. The making of their garms, mate. And once that's, they've got this year to clean up their act, really. And this move enables them to do a bit more, in a sense of branching out. And it shows what can happen, you know. Strategically, if you can grow online, and the bricks and mortar companies and peers that you're competing against don't move and struggle financially to deal with all their costs of being bricks and mortar, then you can actually take advantage of these opportunities, you know.
Oh,
So
definitely.
yeah,
Mate,
it's interesting.
another one that I thought was interesting, I don't hold it, yeah, is it's a company I've liked for quite a while, but because I'm incredibly stupid, I've never bought it. And that is Sofion, SPE. Do you know that one?
I do tech company, yeah.
Yeah, I read its results the other day. I thought, yeah, that's not bad. And what it does like software that helps companies bring new products into development, but I think it also goes further than that and sort of does the brings them to the actual commercialization, so taking a product to the market sort of thing. So I think it's like software to help manage that end-to-end process. That's how I understood it. I might be wrong, but that seems quite an unusual product set to me. I haven't come across that anywhere else. I don't think it's like without competitors. I'm sure there's other things. I mean, you could probably just use Microsoft Project to replicate a lot of it. But I just think it's an interesting company, and it's yeah, I've followed it for years and years, and it always seems to be doing the right things. And yeah, I quite like the look of that.
Yeah, it's an interesting company, Pete. It's a software and services for enterprise innovation company. And the beauty of, and what might be more interesting for you on this one, Pete, is that whilst it's essentially a UK company, you know, it has actually got operating units in the United States, mate, and it's HQ'd in Minneapolis in Minnesota, USA. Been around since 1993.
That's where Prince comes from, isn't it?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah,
Please. Yeah.
absolutely.
Rain, mate.
Don't start singing Purple Rain, mate, whatever you
The Purple Pain.
do. So yeah, so that's it's an innovative company, mate. You know I like my tech. It's not one I've had out of my radar, but that is a very, very interesting company. The
Yeah.
only thing I would say, Pete, for whatever reason with that company, it's always had a very low volume of stocks traded. The
Could
you know
be
volume is
well, was
minuscule, so getting in and out of the stock on any sort of size could always be an issue,
good
and the
job.
PE is quite high on that stock. But
Yeah.
it's like you said, the latest news caused it to pop from sub £8 to it's now at £9.30. So yeah, there's some good news.
Another one that I mentioned it earlier on this podcast. I don't hold it. My mate.
Pete, let me pause you one sec on this one. Going back to what you said about the stock, listen to this. Total annualized returns 10 years, 19%. 5 year, 69.1%. 69% 5 year annualized returns, Pete, on that stock.
That's nuts. Wow.
It's nuts. It means that you're 5 years too slow to get that one, mate. Sorry.
Well, no, it does. And it's exactly what I said. I've been following it for years. And I'm incredibly stupid.
Yeah. 3 year annualized, 22.89. Those are solid numbers, mate.
They are, mate. They are.
Someone's been quietly making money. I haven't seen any. You know what's even better about that stock, Pete? Not seen a single soul talking about it on Twitter.
Do you know, it's funny because I saw it was flavour of the month about 2 years ago, and then everyone seemed to forget it again. You know what I mean? And it's sort of gone away again.
Traders do, mate. They make it hot for 1 day or 2 days only, or T5, mate. T5 traders and T10 traders. That's all they're interested in, is putting the money, no money down, buying it for 5 days and 10 days and getting out. They're not interested in fundamentals, mate.
So that T5, just to explain for listeners, if you buy something on T5 trade, it basically means you can buy the shares, but you don't have to actually pay for them for 5 days. So what you can do is you can buy them, you're hoping the shares go up or whatever, and then obviously when you come to have to settle your bill in 5 days time for the money, you've already sold them by that, and you can pay the money back, and you've made the profit.
Absolutely.
That's the theory. Yeah, the other one I just want to mention quick was, because I know a lot of listeners love income shares. We talked on the last podcast about Morrisons, MRW, and I was quite taken with Morrisons, and I do like it, but I was chatting to my mate Phil Sloan, I think he's at Phil Sloan on Twitter, and he suggested PRSR, which he holds, which is something supermarket right. I can't remember what the first bit is. What is it? I don't know. Something supermarket right. Anyway, it looks interesting. It's got something like 5% dividend, something like that. And it buys supermarket properties, but it's quite shrewd because it buys ones that have also got plenty of space for online delivery. And I think it looks quite interesting.
You're talking about PRS REIT, Pete, and the ticker symbol is PRSR, yeah?
I don't even know what it is, and I'm thinking of buying it. There you go. That's the kind of
research. Well, you've gone from me doing too much research on a stock to doing none at all, mate, yeah?
My mate said
he's interested in a buying it. Oh, come on.
they've done several acquisitions in recent days, and they all look pretty good. They're all like, I don't know, net initial interest yields of sort of like 5% or something. And they've got, you know, upward only rent adjustments and things, and potential to develop the sites on quite a few. So, yeah, I think that looks quite interesting, that one.
Okay. On that one, Pete, at the moment, it's sitting at, is it 85 pence per share? The range is 58 to 93. It's sitting at a discount of 8.7%, and the 12-month average discount on that particular REIT is 18.46%. So the discount to NAV has actually narrowed over the last couple of months. The last actual NAV date I've got here is last year, which seems a bit long. Last July, I'm sure there's probably some data somewhere which is more updated, but it was 95 pence. And it's yielding at the moment around 4.7%. So for income people, that's quite good, mate.
It's interesting, isn't it? I'm just looking for the final results now. Normally you can see the NAV on that pretty quick. Yeah, net assets at the, it's got 30th of June. Oh, it says 95.1p. So
That's what I've got, yeah.
Yeah, quite a discount to the NAV. So yeah,
they've not been around long. I've got up a 3 year annualized here, Pete, and it, regardless of dividend, it's a -1.58 total returns. Over the past 12 months, it's done -3%. So maybe if things return, you know, to norm and improve, then you'll be all right with that particular one. It looks like it does quarterly dividends, which means that you get four payments per year, and in 2020 that was 4 pence per share in total, so you get 1 pence per share divvy going forward.
Yeah, a lot of people like that sort of quarterly payment.
It's nice to get things dropping into your account.
Yeah, if you're using it to actually spend and live on sort of thing, that can be really quite a handy feature. Quite a few shares do quarterly payments, so it is a very useful thing. Yeah, like you said, PRSR is quite a new stock. It hasn't been around for long. And obviously, it's been in that stage of buying properties and building its portfolio. But it seems to have done quite a lot of that now. And yeah, fingers crossed, I think it looks quite a reasonable one. Okay. I haven't bought it yet, but I might do. I don't know.
Okie dokie.
Probably my favourite of the income.
1 hour and 10 minutes in, Pete. So I just want you to wrap up on something very, very positive and uplifting for all our global listeners. And we had somebody contact us as well from Bhutan, didn't we? Chitan.
Bhutan.
So if you're in Bhutan, Chitan, hello, and thank you for listening to us. I want to thank all our listeners that are listening to us last podcast. We seem to have numerous people from the US listening, so thank you all for listening, and wherever you are in the world listening, thank you very much. And all those that have subscribed as well, thank you very much. We've had a phenomenal response to that podcast, so we're really, really pleased. So thank you all for your continued support. Pete?
Yeah, I think we're pretty much there. I was going to say, if anyone wants to use SharePad or ShareScope, we've got some offers going on our websites. Well, what's your website, mate?
Conkers3.com. That's number 3. At Conkers3.com is my website.
Well, www.conkers3.com, yeah?
Yeah, and yours?
Yes. Well, mine's www.wheeliedealer.weebly.com. We've got some adverts on there, and basically, if you want to sign up for SharePad or ShareScope, click on there, you get 1 month's free data, which is well worth having.
Brilliant. Now, folks, I wanted to close, really, on a positive note, and I just wanted to say, you know what, you guys, ladies, gents, are absolutely amazing, because you've already embraced the Twin Peaks challenge that we're doing. And for me, that just speaks volume as to the sort of people that we're associated with. So for that, I'm truly grateful. Pete and I are going to run this hopefully until the end of the year, and we're going to support some children and their carers that are, you know, disabled children. I think, you know, not able to see their friends, not able to participate in various activities. I think if we can do something and be thoughtful of others and do stuff in our community, it's very, very important. So I just wanted to say thank you ever so much, and God bless.
See you later. Thank you.
All right, folks. Take care. God bless.
This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast was brought to you in association with SharePad, from ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScope.co.uk and discover the advantage.